This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
This morning we'll be looking at a particular scripture. I'll title this By the Truth. By the Truth. Proverbs 23:23. The scripture simply said, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy wisdom, buy instruction, and buy understanding. I put it together, it says, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And as I contemplated on this scripture for some time yesterday, I realized the solid truth that without the truth, we can never have wisdom. Without the truth, we can never walk in instruction. And without the truth, we can never have the right understanding. All over the world today, people believe in so many kinds of truths. Those who follow Muhammad believe it is the truth. Those who follow Buddha believe it is the truth. Atheists believe it is the truth. So we have so many truths. And behind those truths lies the kind of wisdom that these people use to live their life. The truth they know governed how they reason, how they think, how they deal with other people. The truth they know would encourage them to become terrorists, would encourage them to go into transgender realities, would encourage them to go into Scientology, would encourage them to pursue demonic realities, because they would also always say it, that the truth they know does not stop them from engaging in diabolical things to seek a solution to their issues. So their truth gave them the wisdom with which they live. This wisdom with which they live will then give them instruction. So then they will tell them, oh, this is because you now know this truth and it has given you a way of thinking, which is wisdom, then these are the rules that pertain to this way of thinking. And then they have instructions in that wisdom through the truth that they believe they know. And as a result of that, they believe they have understanding of life. And so it is important that as believers, we understand the essence of the truth. The truth is not an idea, a way of thinking. It is not red, it is not white. The truth is not spoken words or the reality that we see, which we are reporting to somebody. You see, because the truth is always subjective. What you see as true and what I see as true, most of the time may not be the same. I may place something on the table and then somebody else may come to take it. And you saw somebody taking it. So then they ask you, tell the truth. Who took it? The truth then will be, this is the person that took it. That will be the truth. Only for you to still be there and to find out that that person is actually the owner of it and that I stole it. And then the owner came to retrieve it. You see, but from how and where you saw it, you would have mistakenly labeled the true owner of that property the thief. And you will have mistakenly assumed that the person that put it on the table is actually the true owner. You see, which is where the problem of subjective truth comes from. It never ends. You call a couple to come and explain to you what happened in their marriage. And the right side will speak from its perspective of truth. The left side will speak from her perspective of truth. And you realize that both of them believe what they're saying wholeheartedly. They believe they have the truth. And yet, their two truths cannot coexist because it is subjective. They do not see things through the same lens. That cannot be the truth. The reason for that not being the truth is for a fact that the truth would not have any arbiter. When you call something the truth, it does not have a second opinion or a third opinion or any form of bias, or he did this to me, I did this to her. Okay, I said don't do this, then you did this, don't do that, then you did this. Oh, no, that's not the truth. We call it the truth, no veritas. We call it the truth among ourselves so we can establish a baseline for our behavior or reaction to that particular information. But ladies and gentlemen, the truth is a person. You see, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he was not talking about opinions or facts or arguments. He was not talking about what is the color of that thing? It is red. That is the truth. No, that is not the truth. That thing is red simply because of the ray of light that is shining on it. As simple as that. It's, color is an effect of light. It's as simple as that. To object it to another light, and the red color will turn purple right in your very eyes. Sight. The light that is shining on an object determines the color. So you put white in a particular color, you will see that white will change. You put blue in another color, in another light, you see that blue will change. So it depends on the light through which you see it, which means that all the things that we see, that we have agreed to be the truth, really are not the truth. It simply depends on the color falling on them. You see where I'm going with this? Therefore, the truth cannot be an opinion, a statement, an argument, a point of view, a philosophy, a worldview. That can't be the truth. The truth then has to be a person. You see, it has to be someone that will be consistent in his integrity, in his credence and credential, in such a manner that no matter the situation you apply him to, the truth will speak for himself. Let me say that again. Let me say it this way. You take somebody who is a chronic Muslim, bring him to Christ now, lead him to Christ, he becomes born again now, then you tell the person to pray for the sick in the name of Jesus, the truth will show up. Does not matter the baggage of the burden of the baggage of belief that that man has before he came to know Christ. Even now that he just became born again, the full knowledge of his head is still Islam. Everything he had known all his life is still Islam. He has to unlearn many things. But the moment he became born again, you see, the truth has come. And from that moment, he begins to walk in the truth. The truth will set him free. The truth will walk him through. Through that truth, he will then have the right wisdom, which is Christ, the wisdom of God. Through that, he will have his instructions and righteousness through the Holy Spirit. And then he will have a true understanding from the perspective of God. So you see why the truth had to lead. Because if you would accept Jesus by the truth, then you would have the right wisdom, you'll have the right instruction, and you'll have the right knowledge. When we understand this to be fundamental, we will see why oftentimes we find ourselves in situations, maybe at work or in place of business, on making life decisions, why it seems as if many of us are confused. We do not apply the principles of Christ in our secular reality as we should. It bothers me a bit to see Christians maybe make decisions that they believe is good for them, only for them to be stuck because they have pursued a lie. Or somebody talked about an investment and people told them about it. Oh, yeah, I vouch for him. Oh, just put your money in it. Somebody talked about a marriage. Oh, that brother. Oh, faithful guy. Marry him. Oh, that sister. Oh, faithful. Ah, marry her. You know, sometimes people will reach out to me or to somebody and they will say, I'm looking for a spouse. And the reason they're asking for a spouse through me is that they believe that I would only recommend the best. That I wouldn't look for that those around me and those that I would say, oh, check out this person, that I would recommend only the best. Somebody that I know will fit and be able to do life with them. So they will trust my judgment the same way they trust your judgment when they come to you. But oftentimes, some of us have ulterior motives. Like, we know that a sister desperately needs a spouse, right? And then somebody comes to us and says, but I mean, I need a spouse. And you look at it, you know it doesn't fit. But this person is like your cousin or your younger sister or somebody close to you, somebody you love dearly. And then the love you have for this person would make you then recommend the person like, this guy is... Well, it's well to do, and this is that you know it doesn't fit you. you know that she wouldn't really fit me. Like, if I can talk to her, if I can, you know, then even though you know the truth, we then subject it, you know, we just slant it a bit. We don't do it deliberately. I think we all do it. We just do it. Because again, the truth that we know is subjective. Emotions can work on it and make us make wrong decisions or mislead or misguide. You see, because we see a certain potential. I remember a friend of mine that is in Nigeria, and everybody knew that we were working on her to become better at relating with people. To become a better version of herself. She was a termagant, troublesome, fighting person, as in physical fight. Every 2 or 3 months, she would just blow out and she would just misbehave. And then this guy reached out from abroad. And she was there when somebody told me about that. She was like, I'm interested. I'm like, you are interested? So that you can go and stab the guy today. I said, no. What do you mean? Don't you have faith that God can do? I say, hey, you know, even she knew that she was a body of work, needed a lot of work. But she was willing to take up the opportunity. Well, I know the truth. And I was like, even though I didn't want her to get angry with me, so I was like, okay, I'll do something about it, which wasn't the truth. I wasn't going to recommend her at all. I took her out of my space. And then she left my space. And then I told the other guy with me, I said, no, I just told her that she's not the one, because I know that if she would do anything, and I do not want her to put myself in a situation where when things don't work out, then I would have recommended, I would have contributed to the bad decision. We all do it. But again, that is not the truth. This particular sister, when I spoke to the Holy Spirit about it, the Holy Spirit said, she does not know me. All she knew, all her life was a lie. He said, a software is corrupt, like a virus had gotten into a system and is changing the codes. He said, if you make her know me, I will become the truth that will give her wisdom. I will become the truth that will give her instruction. I will become the truth to her that will give her understanding. She will change. And so I said to the sister, I said, okay, come and see me. And she was already born again. I said, see, what I told you yesterday, based on who you are right now, truth is you are not fit. I can't recommend you to anybody for a relationship. It is a guaranteed suicide. But if you can embrace instruction and walk with the Holy Spirit for 3 months, 3 months, if I see the changes that I know I should see, then I wouldn't have to recommend you to anybody. I wouldn't have to tell anybody, oh, I know a sister, she's single, she's in her 30s, she's AA, she's the. I wouldn't have to tell anybody. You will see that that truth would bring to you the right attractiveness, the right comeliness that will lead you to your own marriage. I said, are you willing to take up this challenge? And she said, oh. She's willing. So she joined PSSBC, I believe, school of 16 at the time. And PSSBC is an intensive class, you know. We meet every night, daily for 3 months, and we would share the word of God, have classes, do practicals, and it's all about about Christ, the spirit of Christ in the believer, and the believer becoming Christ. In I think by the time we are finishing that school, 16, she sent me the invitation for our wedding. We are already in the middle of school, 23 as I speak, and the marriage is doing so well. And the reason for that was because she met the truth, not religion, the truth. The same thing applies to our business decisions, applies to our lives. When a Christian finds himself at a crossroad and you seem as if you are confused as to how to move forward, please, there's a litmus test that I believe every believer should apply consistently. Ask yourself, am I being guided by the truth or am I being guided by the subjective truth? The subjective truth is making decisions based on facts around you, daily decisions based on situations that you face, based on facts, based on information. You cannot guarantee that all the information you hear in the day is the truth. When you listen to the news lies all the time. When you come home and your wife is giving you a report, she would give you her version. Her version is the truth she knows, but you cannot have the whole picture of a thing. You can come and say, oh, your mother called and said this, 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 this. When you now call your mom will say, oh, I called, but this was what I meant. What she reported and what your mother said may not be the same thing. It may look like the same thing, but it may not be the same thing. Because again, that is not the truth. That's just information. And many of us confuse information with the truth because of the way we have been programmed by life to try and establish a baseline on which we can communicate with each other effectively. The truth is Jesus. So this is the litmus test. Whenever a Christian is confused, whenever a born-again Christian finds himself stuck, maybe you find yourself in London and you are struggling and you're like, oh, I don't know, should I stay in this country or should I go back home? And you find yourself in a marriage and it is not working and you're like, okay, what am I getting wrong? Something must be wrong. I do not want to assert and say I'm right all the time. And I cannot say this man is wrong all the time too, or is right all the time. Something must be going wrong. Why can't we communicate properly? Why can't things work? You know, the litmus test is take yourself, your whole self away from, just take yourself away from your understanding of the truth as you know it. It's like, oh, this is what always happens. No, take yourself away from it. Oh, this decision, take yourself away. Take yourself away. Look to Jesus. I mean, take yourself away. It's not a 3 days prayer, all this religious. No. Could be just for a few minutes. Step back from that situation. Assess it. What led me to this place? Who gave me the information? How did I fill the form? Okay. Was God in this? Okay. God was in it up until this point, you know, because oftentimes God will start the thing and then we will continue it. You have a vision to start the business, you start it. Then when you start the business, you begin to do well. Then one day somebody comes and the person says, oh, I want to invest in your business. I want to put in 20 million or 50 million. And to you immediately, it's God. You just think, oh, this is God. And then the moment that person drops the money, you start having problems. And you are like, ah, what is the problem? This business was doing well. Then, of course, you now continue to do it. And things are not working. Then you step back. See, ah, things were working up until this point. You see? But from this point, I began to do things. I began to coast. Okay. Let me take a step back. Let me take a step back. Then you retrace it, you do a post-mortem. Say, okay, where did things go wrong? It was right up until this point. You see, then you can retrace your step and say, okay, it is my alliance with the Amalekites, or my alliance with this. Oh, it was the day I said this. This was what I said. This was the day that this problem started. The day I acted like this to his father. Ah, okay. It was the day I came to the UK and I was impatient and oh, it was the day you would easily, a Christian will easily retrace back the step to where things went sour. Now, once you can retrace your step back, it's very important. It's a process that believers must subject themselves to if they are going to tell the truth. If they are going to live the truth or fulfill the divine destiny of God for their lives. Because if you continue in a wrong direction, even though you started from the right direction, and then suddenly maybe you are in ministry like I was at the time, and then you start a church. You know, like I started the church, and then I continued in it. And then at the point, I realized that God was not with me. I retraced my step. I remember I said, I fell ill. I said, I don't fall sick. What is this? I fell ill. And I was like, why was I sick? To the point where they were getting medications. I was like, ah, I was, why? Why did I get sick? And then I began to retrace my step. And then I realized, oh, okay, I've missed something here. See, I retraced. And immediately I saw it. I said, hey, I remember I wrote to my friend who now pastors that same church. I wrote to him and I said, my brother, I remember God didn't tell me to start a church, but I started one now. And I've basically become the pastor of this church, even though you are the pastor, but I'm the pastor. Therefore, I will no longer be the pastor. I have to remove myself. From the moment I then removed myself, bam! And I went back to the truth, you see. I would have then stayed there and I'll be lamenting, I'll be sick. things will not work. And I'll be complaining all the time, God, where's your faith? I'll be speaking in tongues, I'll be on the floor, but I'll be doing it in the wrong direction. You see, because I had left the truth. I bought it at the beginning, but I've sold it by continuing in my own understanding, right? Not staying in the guidance of that truth, not staying in the wisdom of that truth, not staying in the instruction of that truth, and not walking in the understanding of that truth. I will have started well, but I will have somehow, like Saul the king, I will have started well, but I will have ended not too well. So this is why it is important for every believer, when the Lord gives the instruction, you started it, you have to keep your focus on being guided by that truth. And if you ever deviate from it to the point where you are guided by self or by other people, somebody will just come and tell you, oh, try this thing. You know, a lot of people will come to me, ah, JSW, try this thing. I'll say, what do you mean? You know what is really in Christianity now? People are doing miracle money, or people are, no, they will just come. People will just come right to me. Like, well, have you heard about this thing? I'm like, people will just suggest things. They mean no harm. But sometimes you can hear them and then deviate. So once you deviate like that, you notice things are going wrong. You can easily stop and say, hey, I remember one of my bosses when I was talking about journalists, they will say that when you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. Just stop. At least where you have dug, just stay there. Don't dig more. Don't go further, because the more you dig, the deeper you sink. So just, and then try to find your way out of the hole. You see, it is important. That is how you are guided by the truth. It doesn't mean that you will not make one or two missteps, but if you are conscious and you follow the guidance of the truth the way you should, you will find out that when you miss your way, you will quickly come back. You don't be egoistic in such a way that thinking that I can never be wrong. No, this is what the Lord told me. I've seen many people do that. God said this thing, therefore it must work. It doesn't work that way, because even in the fulfillment of what he said, there is instruction. Proverbs 23:23, you have received the truth of God's word. In it, there is wisdom, and then there is instruction, and then there is understanding. So you can claim, I have received the truth. But what if you are not walking in the instruction of the truth? You have to receive instruction. So you cannot say, oh, how can God say I should start this business? It's not working. Oh, this is the enemy. This, no, 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 no. Go back to the instruction. Go back to the instruction for the truth. I know a general overseer who was building a church, and then every time they raised it to the second, to decking it, and wanted to raise it up, the church would collapse. Collapse one time and kill people. He said, why would I build in a church and things be collapsing? He said, he then went to pray. And God said, oh, go and check a document. So he went to check the document of the previous general overseer who handed over to him. And that man had written in that document that they should not raise the building. You see? He said, oh, okay. Then he went to the Lord and God said, this. And then he retraced. He had a good idea, but he didn't follow the guidance and instructions of the truth. So you must understand this. You must understand it. All right. As many of us as are in Lagos, later today, I think in the afternoon, we will be at Sister Bola Tito's event, the concert, the LRA concert at Surulere. I believe it's maybe should start arriving from around 2 o'clock, because it's going to be awesome. And today, ministers, the prophetic service superstars of God will be there. I'll be there too. We just want to, this is a month of praise. This is the month of the healer, the recovery through praise. So we are going to praise the Lord. We are going to minister. There'll be a lot of great things happening. This month especially is important, because the Lord has dedicated it as the month of his praise. So please, if you're in Lagos, join us. If you're close to Lagos, join us. It will be a wonderful time. Later this month, on November 22, mark it, we'll go to Lekki for the healer praise. Dance at home. We're just going to dance unto the Lord. The Lord gave the instructions since March. And all we want to do is come before the Lord and spend quality time, maybe 5, 6 hours, and just dance and celebrate and rejoice and dance and really do a proper feast. of rejoicing and gladness before the Lord. Please note the date. It's important. We'll be in Abuja this coming weekend for the gathering. This will be November the 9th. We'll be in Abuja. The posters will start going out after Stabler Eto's event today. That poster will start coming out from tomorrow. And so those in Abuja and those close to Abuja, that is the opportunity to be there. My blessings are with you. I pray for you daily. I know that the Lord has established you in wisdom and you will continue to grow in the instruction of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. If you are blessed by today's class, please submit and shout, glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and